Dirk Hayhurst spent parts of two seasons in the major leagues, but not until he'd spent five seasons in the minor leagues. He didn't win any games in the bigs, but he hit a couple of guys, and he handled flawlessly the two balls hit in his direction. He also listened, which explains how he's gotten two books out of a big league career that lasted less than 40 innings. The more recent of the two is Out of My League, A Rookie's Survival in the Bigs. Dirk Hayhurst joins me now from WKSU in Kent, Ohio. Welcome back to Only a Game.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Making the show is supposed to be the dream of all ballplayers, but when you reached the majors, you told the woman who would be your wife that you'd had a better time in AAA. How could that be?
Well, I think it's important to put the context of that particular statement into perspective. So I'm up in the big leagues, and I'm getting my butt kicked thoroughly. Every time I take the mound, it's like a complete meltdown. And if you aren't producing in the big leagues, then you're dirt. You really are scum. So I'm not getting it done. It's embarrassing. You know, my embarrassment's broadcast in HD around the country. And I'm starting to feel sorry for myself. And that's one thing you can absolutely not do in the big leagues, because no one's going to feel sorry for you. The money was not in AAA. People didn't know who I was in AAA, but I was happy there. I was succeeding there. I had pride there, and I don't have that here. I have money, but I also have a really red behind from all the times that I've had my butt kicked. So,
you know, it's supposed to be a big deal to see your name on your big league team's glowing scoreboard for the first time, but I guess that didn't go especially well for you.
Oh, gosh, I was hoping we'd make it through this interview without that reference. But yes, that is scarred into my mind. Thank you for bringing that up. So I've always dreamed of the moment that I would take the field and I would look over my shoulder, and there on that giant scoreboard light display would be my name in big lights. And that moment came to me. But when I turned around and looked at the board, it said Dick Hayhurst, which is, of course, not my name, but it is the name of a phallic symbol. So I'm the only guy in big league history that had his name misspelled as a phallic, and that marked my debut with the San Diego Padres. Yay me.
Chapter 59 in your book, which includes an impressive 75 chapters, discusses foreign substances. Did you hesitate at all before deciding to reveal that some major league pitchers rub jelly, pine tar, firm grip, shaving cream, and copper tone onto baseballs before they throw them?
Well, technically, you cannot test positive for those things, so I was not ashamed to admit that, yes, there are performance-enhancing sunscreens in the major leagues. Kids at home, look, I'm not telling you to cheat. I'm not. I'm just telling you to wear sunscreen. Protect yourself from the elements. You never know how it's going to pay dividends.
One of your former teammates is distinguished in the book by his foul mouth and the animosity he feels for his wife, and, of course, his ability to drink all night and excel at baseball the next day. And you write, God, what I could do with just one of his gifts. I was jealous of him, pure and simple. Do a lot of players feel that way about the stars on their teams?
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, my goodness, yes. Because, I mean, it's so hard to make it to the top. Literally, guys have been spending years of their lives to even have a shot at the top. And here's this guy who, like, if he just cleaned up his act, he'd probably be in the big leagues dominating. But no, he can't. He must go drink for the record books every time he goes out. He has to pick a fight with everybody. You know, he thinks he's God's gift to baseball, and he wants to share that particular gift with all the women he meets, even though he's married. So, yeah, it's frustrating. It's because you're playing by the rules. You know, you're trying to give your limited, fringy talent the best opportunity you can. So yes, we are upset with those people because, gosh darn it, it's hard.
Was the inclusion of that particular fellow in the book what determined that you wouldn't name names in Out of My League?
No. Actually, you know, there's a lot of guys whose names I protect. And one of the reasons that I protect names is because I feel like once you start attacking people, even if you do it casually, then the book takes on this kind of like vengeful rhetoric, you know, and you lose all that moral point that you've tried to work in. And Out of My League is more than just a baseball book. I mean, it's a book about life, and baseball is the vehicle. So in an attempt to make it more valuable, I tried to make sure it was clean and nobody really got damaged.
Money comes up a lot in the book. You were in the minor leagues for 5 years. What was the highest salary you ever made there, and what did it jump to once you'd been called up to the majors?
Don't laugh when I tell you that at my prime in the minors before I made it to the big leagues, I pulled down the respectable salary of $15,000 a year. Boom. That just happened. I know, big time, right? So when I made it up to the majors for the first time, I walked into the manager's office to ink the contract, and there next to my name was the glorious number of $400,000, which meant if you divided it into, you know, my season, I was making more in one night before taxes than I was making in an entire month in the minors. Ludicrous, but true.
And they still gave it to you, even after you didn't get very many people out.
No, thank you for kindly saying that I didn't flat out suck. But yes, they still paid me. They were very gracious about that. Honestly, I'm so thankful they did, because it was the hardest money I think I'd ever earned in baseball. The team was terrible. I mean, it was all we could do to not lose 100 games. And we were just praying that the other team took mercy on us, you know. And so everybody's in the same situation. Like, they're all getting all this money to just be terrible. Nobody's winning, you know. And so they're like, dude, don't worry about it. Just take it. Cash it. Enjoy it. You know, buy your wife a car or something, you know. Don't even think about it. It's a business. And we're just a write-off to them anyways. So that was, like, the best title I took in the big leagues. I was a write-off.
Now, for the record, we're talking about the Padres of yesteryear.
That's right, 2008.
Right. Yes. Now, my understanding is that you will soon be taking your game to one of those roads that leads to Rome. Tell us about where you'll next pitch.
I am going to be pitching in Nettuno, Italy. They do not pay me in pasta and wine, contrary to popular belief. They actually have real money over there, and they are willing to pay it to me. It's not uncommon to go over there and see a pitcher start a fight with an umpire, them yell at each other for a good 5 minutes, and then the pitcher gets back on the mound. Of course, they won't throw each other out. It's very Italian to argue. And then the pitcher will throw a strike. The pitcher throws a strike, and then the batter will throw his helmet on the ground and kick his bat, and he'll argue for his 5 minutes. And the game will just progress like this. It puts the Yankees-Boston series to shame in how much time it takes. Yeah, I really have to spruce up my argument skills if I'm going to survive in that league. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the chance.
Of course, it is spring training time in Florida and Arizona. Do you miss being with the team at this point here in the U.S.?
I do, and I don't. You know, I put 9.5 years in to the pro game here in America, so there's not a lot of new experiences there for me. I do miss the camaraderie and hanging around with the guys, but as a baseball player, I always felt like I was like an actor. You know, I was just on the periphery of it. Like, I knew I had the physical talent. I knew I could play. But there are all these questions that I kept asking that I needed to find answers to. You know, like, why is this game so important to everybody? How, you know, all we do is throw a white ball for a living. And how come we get paid so much money, and teachers and doctors, and they don't? You know, it was, I don't know, just these things made it hard for me to really commit to it. And then I would ask these questions aloud, and guys on the team would be like, you are an idiot. Just sit there and be quiet. Take the money, moron. You know, it'd be like that kind of stuff. It was hard for me to find a real personal peace. In a way, I feel kind of vindicated to go overseas, because there's an adventure there, and that is a real pleasure for me to kind of chase down.
Dirk Hayhurst, soon to be on a mound near you if you live in Italy. His new book is Out of My League, published by Citadel Press, and he joined me from WKSU in Kent, Ohio. Dirk, thank you very much for speaking with me, and good luck overseas.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you so much for having me. As a kid, he beat me up at 5. Take shots till 8 and make the thing drag. Out of the school and back on ice. That was his life. He was gonna play in the big league. Oh, big league.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. We had help this week from Amanda Art. Our intern is Jeremy Conlon. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To learn more about Dirk Hayhurst's somewhat excellent Major League adventure or view our photo galleries, please visit onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word this week comes from Dirk Hayhurst, who shares his dinner menu from earlier in the week.
Spaghetti with octopus and cactus milkshake.
Oh, man, Dirk. You're going to love Italy. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. The Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children, both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. And the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.